Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
There are several acquaintances of mine, mainly in the religious community, that would tell you that we live in a land that's sick. Not only would many of them say that, they would also say that our country is on its deathbed, that is certainly in ICU. They would say that everywhere that you look, there are symptoms of an illness that we call immorality. Not only that, but the illness, they say, is getting worse day by day. What do you say? How do you feel you would answer the question, is the United States of America suffering from immorality? There are symptoms that should be noted. Did you know that there are more than 1 million teenage alcoholics in our land? In a recent Harris poll in the city of Chicago, 75% of the high school seniors polled admitted to having sexual relations. I read the other day about a 12-year-old boy that was arrested for selling drugs on the campus of a grammar school. I know, and as do you, as we read every day, about mothers that are encouraging their unwed and pregnant daughters to have abortions rather than accepting the responsibility of their actions. I read the other day again about 10 boys that were arrested in a professional burglary ring. The thing that surprised me was the ages of those boys. They were 9 to 14. I know well from personal experiences that the high schools, even in our city, used armed guards to protect life and property. I get around to many of the high schools in a job that I have of evaluating high school basketball officials. It's not uncommon at all to see security guards at every post. It's not uncommon at all to see policemen at athletic events. It's not uncommon to see barbed wire on the top of the fences surrounding some schools. Did you know that 50% of the high school students in one district admitted to experimenting with drugs? What's sad in our society is that there are almost 2 million divorces every year. Suicide in our society is responsible for more deaths than traffic accidents are. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry. Pornographic literature and movies are available in every neighborhood. It's just not some neighborhoods that feel the blight. Men, we see in certain areas of our country, through legislation, are being authorized to marry other men. Women are marrying other women. Homosexuality is looked on as a third sex. I recall a time when I stood in downtown San Francisco looking at a statue that honored the homosexual man. That statue was there right in the middle of the city and paid for by tax dollars. The sexual revolution is permeating society. If it hasn't already won, it's well on its way to winning. Topless, bottomless, nude bars, all main attractions on the runway of life. The pill. Open the door to fornication. Open the door to adultery. It's now safe to sin. There's corruption, isn't there? In all levels of government, we hear so much of it, it makes us sick. Whether we're thinking about Watergate, talking about homosexual senators and their relationship with pages, senators taking bribes and abscan and other illegal activities, or the governor of the state of New York spending over $80,000 in a relationship with prostitution. Wow. I know these things are depressing. They depress me. They depress everybody that loves the country and is concerned about its well-being. But I'll tell you one thing, ignoring it won't make it go away. Edwin Burke once wrote, "All that it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Well, what's the solution? First of all, we must confront sin head on. We must confront it with any legal measures that are available to us, and we must be strong in that. Second, we've got to let the sinners know that there's hope for them when they get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Third, I believe the only long-range solution is to raise a generation of children that know God. To do that, the home must function like God intended for it to function. The home must train children in morality and righteousness. It's the home's responsibility. I know one time a lady who stood before a judge crying. Her 15-year-old boy had just gone through a trial and was being sentenced to 5 years in jail. "What went wrong, Your Honor?" she said. "Who's responsible?" Well, the judge knew the lady and her family, and he said, "At least partially, you and your husband are responsible because you failed to bring up your son in the way that he should go." Many times, we're very concerned about our children after they have left, after they have gone the wrong way, when we should show concern at the beginning. There are remarks that many famous people have made that should impress us concerning the subject of responsibility. Abraham Lincoln is a hero of mine. He said, "You can't escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." There's a man I haven't read much of, but certainly he said something that pertains to our study today. His name is Sir Josiah Stamp. He wrote for the English Digest. He said, "It's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities." Well, responsibilities is important, isn't it? In order for us to study this subject, we must first understand what it is. By definition, Webster says responsibility is a condition, quality, fact, or instance of being responsible, an obligation, accountability, dependability, or a thing or person for whom one is responsible. I heard a story one time, kind of cute, about a teenage boy that was looking for a part-time job, and he was looking in the newspaper, and he looked under Help Wanted, and he saw this ad that said, "Wanted, responsible young employee." So he decided to go and make application for that job, and as he was being interviewed, the man behind the interviewer's desk said, "Son, what makes you think that you're responsible?" Well, the boy answered this way, "Every job I've had so far, whenever anything would go wrong, the boss would say, 'You're responsible.'" Well, that's kind of a cute story, but I'll tell you, that's not the kind of responsibility we're looking for. We're looking for attendance to the obligation of responsibility in the home. The Bible is where we must find instructions on responsibility. We've got to find out how to do it from the words of the Bible, because those words are perfect. God's Word places the father and mother responsible for training in the home. The father, according to God's Word, is the head and therefore must take the lead. When the father functions, the home functions. When the father fails, the home fails. There are some specific responsibilities outlined in God's Word. Responsibilities of the father and the husband. Let's talk about six of them. First of all, Genesis 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, "A man must leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." That's been God's plan from the beginning. Any other plan just simply does not work, because God's plan is perfect. The oneness of a marriage relationship is the foundation for a strong home. It's to be maintained through thick and thin, through problems and through successes. That oneness provides a good influence to children as they see it working every day. Well, secondly, father's responsible to love his wife. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Love is the glue that holds the marriage together. Someone said, "The best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." And that simply hits the nail squarely on the head. Well, a third responsibility for the man is to be the breadwinner of the home. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the young preacher Timothy, wrote, "But if any provide not for his own house, He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There are many people in our society that feel that it's the wife's job to work and to make ends meet. But that's just simply not so. The responsibility for the financial prosperity of the home is the man's. It's the husband's. It is not the wife's. It's the man's responsibility. I'm not teaching today that God would declare that a woman working is sinful. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God says the basic responsibility for providing for that home from a physical standpoint is with the man and not the woman. Well, number four, the man must be the head of the house. That is not debatable. The home is not a committee. The home is not run on a committee basis. It doesn't matter what ERA says. It doesn't matter what Women's Lib says. It doesn't matter what society says. God says that the head of the home is the man. In Genesis 3 and verse 16, the Bible reads, "In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Get it now? God said to the wife that the husband should rule over her. The same principle is expressed in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, beginning in verse 23. If you have your Bible, read with me that text. Paul wrote, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Well, certainly, those words are very clear. They almost forbid misunderstanding. The man must be the head of the house. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, the Bible reads, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. The man is head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ." Well, a fifth thing that a husband or a man must do in assuming the responsibility of the home is to understand he's responsible for the training of his children. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, the Bible reads, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." The emphasis on that verse is on education. While it includes certainly physical education, what we of the old school would call the three R's, it specifically deals with the fourth R, and that is righteousness. A good pattern for that can be found in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Look with me in Deuteronomy 6. I want to read verse 6 through 9, and then verse 12. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now look at verse 12. "Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Well, that's the pattern. Verse 12 tells us why. Because if you don't do what the Lord said concerning these things, you will forget the Lord. Many parents train their children to be everything but servants of God. Certainly, emphasis is clear in our society is on things other than religious things in the training of children. Millions, if not billions of dollars are spent to train children to be good athletes or to be good musicians or to be good students. And certainly there's nothing wrong with being a good athlete or a good musician or a good student. But the important thing is being good in the sight of God, is being moral and upright. Some think that the moral training is a responsibility of the church. And while certainly the church can assist, the church is not primarily responsible for training of children in a moral situation. The church only augments, only helps, only assists what the parents are responsible for doing. Well, again, morality must be shown completely in the home. There must be an example to look at. There's a major emphasis on areas in that thought process. First of all, children must be taught to respect the law of the land. I think that we don't do a very good job with that. Look with me if you would. Turn with me if you would to Romans the 12th chapter. I'd like to consider with you beginning in verse 18 and going through the 13th chapter in verse 8. There the Apostle Paul wrote, Romans 12, verse 18 beginning, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what's good, and you will have praise from the same. For it's a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what's evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings forth wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." Parents, husbands need to be honest in their dealings with their fellow men. How is it that a parent can condemn a child for cheating on a test in school, and then before that child cheat on his income tax in his home? Well, teaches a bad lesson, doesn't it? Children must be taught to respect the law. Children must be taught to be honest in their dealings with other people. Parents need to be taught to be truthful at all cost. You know, truth is not optional. There are no levels of truth. There's no such thing as a white lie. How can we expect children to be truthful when we see parents violating truth at every turn? How can we expect a child to be truthful in what we deem the little things when on the phone we say, "Well, I'm sorry, but he's not here," when he's standing right next to you? We need to teach our children that gambling and drinking alcohol and dancing and smoking and licentiousness and drug abuse and things like that are sinful. They're termed to be sinful in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 19 through 21. But no matter how many times we tell them that it's sinful, if they see the parents practicing those kinds of things, the message will be clear. Need to teach a purity of speech and dress. Need to teach purity of life habits. They've got to be taught, and not only taught, but exemplified in the home. Prayer and Bible study must occur on a regular basis in the home. Fairness and justice has to be taught through example in the home. When Dad watches for the police in the mirror so that he can speed up, pass the speed limit, break the law, and then wonders why his children violate the law, it doesn't make sense, does it? Respect for the rights and property of others has to be taught in the home. That's a major problem in our society. Children learn the ways of their parents when they see them bang a door into a car in the parking lot and then leave without acknowledging the fault. Parents must teach their children to have respect for all men. Prejudice is learned in the home. Repentance and forgiveness must be practiced daily in the home for the children to understand not only what it is, but how it works. Many a child has never heard his dad say that he's wrong, say that he's sorry. Children see how hypocritical this is. It's written all over the action, and they learn from that. Well, the dads have a lot of responsibility, but so do the moms, the wives. They have great responsibility in the home also. I read one time where someone said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." To be pleasing to God, a good wife and a good mother should be, first of all, in subjection to her husband. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the behavior of their wives." A wife teaches rebellion by being rebellious to her husband. Second, a wife, to be pleasing to God, must dress properly. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but with good works." Many girls dress immodestly because their mom does. Many girls dress immodestly because their mom wants to fit them into some fashionable mode. Many moms dress immodestly because their dads let them dress immodestly. Well, it should not be. The mom should be a good marriage partner. To be that good marriage partner, both spiritually and physically, she needs to be attendant to the needs of her husband. We read about that in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 1, going through verse 5, and Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the first 5 verses. If you have your Bible, I invite you now to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 1. "Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill the duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement, for a time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, and come again together, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Well, that message is augmented by what is written in the book of Hebrews. The chapter is 13 and verse 1 beginning. There the Bible reads, "Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you.'" Certainly, the wife is to be a marriage partner, both spiritually and physically, to her husband. Well, she must also not be contentious. I'd like to drive a peg down right there and begin our show next week in continuing this gravely important subject of teaching morality within the confines of the home. I'm so glad that you've taken time today to study with us this most important message. If you'd like a copy of this, just go to our website at www.montavistacoc.com. Access the email form that's in that site and write to us. Give us your name, your mailing address, and what show you want, and without charge or obligation, we'll return that DVD to you for your consideration and education. That's all of the time that we have in this show. I thank you so much for being with us, and I pray that you and I will have unusual opportunity this week to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Rhodes. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.